Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. Tonight we have a tremendous show for you. You know, when you look at the sport, everybody always wants to see a legend, but, you know, they never want to look at the ones that are creating the greatness in the sport and have the ability themselves to become legends in the future. You know, my only guest tonight, actually, that's a first for me because usually I run four, but you look back at Ultimate Fighter 28, especially the season finale, a tremendous UFC debut for a tremendous young warrior, and that being Leo Edson. Leo, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Oh, it's an honor and a privilege. You know, I'm going to jump off with a kind of a hard question. Now, you know, my show is usually a 360 aspect, and hell, sometimes we don't even touch on the sport. But there was an issue that was perplexed and spoke about on social media, and I usually don't pull any aspects from that, but how hard was it for you leaving your team and then going to have to train with another coach like Whitaker? How much of a difference and how hard was it for you, Leah, to transition from knowing what you knew to now being coached by somebody that you've never been coached for before?
It was completely different. And, you know, I've trained at other gyms before, and so that experience wasn't new to me, being coached by someone I'm not, like, familiar with, because I have cross-trained at other gyms a few times before. But it was still really difficult for me to leave my coaches and my team just because we're so close. My coaches are, like, my brothers, so we're always, like, on the same page as far as training and stuff goes. So it was completely different being with coaches I didn't know. I think the hardest part was the lack of, like, hard training, just because that's something I'm very used to. I'm used to sparring at least once a week, hitting pads, drilling different combos, doing really hard strength and conditioning sessions, and we didn't do like any of that on the show. So I had to take it upon myself to do my own training outside of our regular scheduled training. And I learned a lot about myself, and that I'm able to stay disciplined and focused even when there's no coach around telling me what to do. So I took positives from that. But yeah, no, it was completely different from what I'm used to. And I think that was a really big challenge that I had to overcome being on the show.
Yeah. Well, the reason I asked that is because, you know, certain articles said that the aspect or the approach of Whitaker was truly not liking his approach towards your training and towards training in general. You know, I usually don't touch on topics like that, but the reason I am tonight is because I wanted my listeners to understand you're locked up in this house. You don't get to communicate with your team. It's a totally inclusive environment. You know, something that very many fighters have never had the luxury of being there, but how hard is it for a fighter being cut off from the world, being cut off from your families, being cut off from all aspects except for what the promotion includes?
I think it's really difficult. I think it's more difficult for other people than it was for me, just because I have my military background and experience. It was similar to that because I've been away from family and friends before for extended periods of time. So 6 weeks of filming, for me, it wasn't that difficult, but it did get to a lot of other fighters, especially the ones with children, because they weren't able to speak to or see their children at all for those 6 weeks. So I think it was especially hard on them. Luckily, I don't have, like, children or any of that, and I have the military background that definitely helped me out and gave me a mental edge, I think, on the show. But, yeah, it was definitely something that most people have never experienced before, so I'd say that was a challenge for most of the fighters on the show.
First and foremost, I'd like to thank you for your service to our country. You know, there's not very many, you know, people out there that truly go that aspect in life. So I commend you on following that path. You know, the reason I ask is I've done tons of these tough fighter shows. You know, I had all of the cast from Tough Redemption, and I happen to be brothers with three of, you know, the last five fighters that were in there, so it was really hard on me. But, you know, you went in this, and you wanted to show the world who you truly were. You know, you suffered a loss. I call them a learning lesson. How much more did that define you, knowing that when you got the call for the Ultimate Fighter 28 finale going against Julia Stolarenko, how much more did that make Leah Lessen want to define her debut?
I definitely wanted to make my comeback and make a statement that I do deserve to be in the UFC. I did do all the work and the preparation. I was ready. I made a few mistakes in that Macy fight, and I was really looking forward to being able to come back from that and make a statement in my UFC debut that I belong here and I'm definitely talented enough to be in the UFC. And I was really grateful for the opportunity to make a comeback after that fight.
Yeah. You know, Leah, you put your heart and soul into everything you do. That's been awfully evident throughout your career. You know, I had the opportunity to shoot you at Invicta FC 21, and you were a tremendous warrior then. What did this experience, did you take away as far as growth, ability, and knowledge?
It's hard to put into words. Like I said before, just being on the Tough show, living with a bunch of strangers, being cut off from society, and living with people that you're potentially fighting is mentally challenging. And if you can overcome that and being away from your coaches and your normal training and you can still do well on the show, I think that says a lot about me as a fighter and that I can overcome any adversity thrown my way. And every fight from now on will be easier than any of the fights that I had in the house just because I'll have my normal coaches, my normal training partners, my normal support group around me to help me both physically and mentally prepare for my fights. And I'm just so grateful that I got that opportunity because I definitely think it helped me grow as a fighter.
You know, it's crazy because I've watched a lot of you guys go from Invicta into the UFC. I've watched a lot of you become the true aspects that you deserve to be. You know, when you look at the beginning of Leah Lessen, and now you see where you're at now, you know, how would you say it's helped you grow, not only as a warrior, but as a person in your walk? Because your career has taken off very quickly.
I'm sorry, you cut out there for a second. Can you repeat that question?
Yeah, I said, how is it for you now, you know, looking at your career, it's taken off very quickly. How hard is it for you to look over your shoulder and totally grasp it and understand everything that's happened in your career thus far?
It's been so crazy. I was just thinking about it the other day, and I've really only been training for fighting for about 5 years now, and I've come so far in such a short period of time. It's incredible. It's amazing, and it's also like it shows that hard work pays off because I put so much into this, and it's finally paying off big time, and it feels incredible. I really can't put into words.
You know, going into the fight, you know, I saw earlier things on you that you were worried about Stolarenko taking it to the ground. You know, you were very smart in the aspect that you didn't truly let the fight go to the ground. Was that your main objective, you know, in thought, you know, going into this fight?
I'd say I didn't really have a huge main objective going into this fight because as much as I say I didn't want it to go to the ground, I truly feel like I was comfortable pretty much anywhere the fight went. So even if she did take it to the ground, I'm comfortable enough with my defense and my top game that I wasn't that worried about it. And I'd say that I'm happy that I was able to capitalize on the feat. And then when she did take it to the ground, I was able to defend her guillotine choke. And then the fight ended up getting stood back up, and I was back to winning again on the feet. So I'm happy that I was able to defend her takedowns and keep it on the feet. And I was also happy that while I was on the ground, I was still able to remain safe.
Yeah, you know, I used to think the defining moment in your career was your win over Elizabeth Phillips. But I think this, you know, fight over still there. I'm not even going to try to say her name because I'm just going to keep butchering it. But, you know, this UFC debut truly has been the greatest fight of Leah Lesson's career. You know, now that you've had a couple days to think about it, and sit back and look at it, what did this moment truly mean to you? Because your last fight that I called a defining moment, you beat, I believe she's a five-time, she was a UFC veteran, you know.
Yeah, I think she was a three- or four-time UFC vet.
Yeah, and now you step up into the UFC, and you've got this opportunity. So, I mean, when you look at it that way, would you call this the most defining fight of your career, and what's your greatest takeaway when you now look back at it?
I'd still say that the Elizabeth Phillips fight was the defining moment in my career just because she was a UFC vet and I did knock her out cold. So that was a pretty that was a pretty confidence building fight, and that showed me that I was ready to be in that next level UFC organization. But this fight was definitely another defining moment of my career, that it proved that I did belong there and I got signed for a reason. Even though I ended up losing to Macy in the semifinals, I still belong in the UFC, and I'm really glad that I was able to make that statement Friday night.
Yeah, so am I. I'm so very proud of you. What did it mean to have your team actually finally be able to be in your corner at the finale?
It was so comforting to have them in my corner. I knew that no matter what situation I got myself into in the fight, that they would be there to help me solve my way out of it. So I was a lot more confident walking into this fight than I was walking into the Macy fight, just because I knew my coaches were there and had my back no matter what. So it was truly amazing to have my coaches back. I can't even tell you how much of a relief it was to walk into the cage with them.
You know, it has to be. You know what's funny, and I told you this before we went live, I'm transparent. I've interviewed Kung Lee, you know, Johnny Hendricks, everybody in the last few weeks, Chuck Liddell. And here I am nervous interviewing Leah Lesson. I never thought that this day would come. But, you know, my friend, I'm truly proud of you. I actually don't get nervous going into interviews, but I know you're a terrific aspect in all aspects of life. And it's hard to define you. And you look at the military service, you look at the other aspects that you do, and you look at your core values. You know, how hard is it for a fighter like yourself to maintain that warrior attitude with all the other things that you have compiled in your life?
Honestly, I think each thing I have going on in my life complements each other. You know, the military gave me the discipline that I need to stay strict with my diet and my training, and it also gave me the mental edge. If I can handle a deployment and coming back from that and all the anxiety and stuff that I was dealing with after deployment, I can handle anything. And I think that my military experience really benefits my fighting career.
Yeah. You know, going into this fight, you made a brief statement that you realized that you had to take advantage and seize the moment in this fight. You know, your opponent was very tough. You went out there. You know, in some aspects, what I've drawn from what I look at and what I watch, you're happy with your debut, but you're not happy with your performance. Would you say that that's a fair analogy?
That's a pretty fair statement, yeah. I'm happy that I got the win, I am a perfectionist, though, and there's a lot of mistakes I made in that fight. I've been watching the fight over and over again and critiquing my performance, and I was a little too hesitant in there, you know? There's a lot more I could have capitalized on. There's a lot of more strikes I wish I would have thrown, but ultimately I'm happy I got the win. I can't complain. But there's definitely room for improvement and things I want to work on for my next fight.
Most definitely. Now, with Diego Lima and a couple other people that were in Tough Redemption, along with their win came a six-fight contract deal. Was that aspect offered to you?
I'm sorry, you cut out again.
I said, with you know, like when I interviewed the fighters from Tough Redemption, a lot of the fighters that were on there that competed in the finale, they were offered a six-fight contract. Has that became an aspect that they've offered you?
Actually, I'm not sure what they have planned for me for my next UFC fight or contract or anything yet. I'm still waiting to hear from my managers what the next move is and what the plan is. Sorry, that was one of my teammates. No, that was Montel. I'm at the gym right now.
That's funny. You know, one thing I like about you, Leah, is you're real. When you look at every aspect that you do, it's tremendous. I'm going to throw away my notes because, you know what, screw it. I do better just asking questions from the heart. You know, I know what you bring to the sport. You know, you said it yourself. You're happy with your debut, but you're not, you know, content with your performance. You know, now you go back, you work on the things that you're unhappy with. But in the eyes of many, you know, we've seen the creation of a tremendous warrior that has the ability to become a champion. With the thoughts of what people are saying, how does it make you feel, not just as a warrior, but as a person in life, that people are saying you have the ability to be the next champion in your weight division?
It's exciting that people believe in me that much. You know, I believe in myself that I'm going to be the champion one day. So it really means a lot to me that other people also feel the same way. It's really cool actually to hear that from all kinds of people, from people in the sport, from fans, from other coaches. I've heard that from many people, and it's confidence building, obviously. It feels really, really amazing to have so many people believe in me.
Well, they truly have, you know. Let's face it, let's be honest. You've had quite a fan base and quite a following for quite some time. You know, I think it's what people see in you, the integrity, the quality of a fighter that you are and the person that you are in your walk that draws people in. And now you're finally getting the attention that you truly deserve and the fights that you truly have earned. You know, what did this opportunity mean for not just your gym, but for your family?
My family is ecstatic that I'm actually making my dreams come true. You know, when I told them originally back when I was an amateur fighter that this is what I wanted to do for a living, they were happy and they were supportive, but I don't know if they truly believed that I was going to make it this far. And so for me to finally make it to the UFC and make my UFC debut win happen, they're truly, truly excited, and they're very happy that I'm actually at the level that I said I was going to be at back when I was an amateur. So it's been pretty incredible. My parents are so proud of me, and that means a lot to me to make them proud.
I can see why, you know. And one thing you're also doing is you're showing the youth out there that follow the sport, you're showing younger fighters other aspects of the genre altogether, that whenever you set your mind to do something, you can see it through. And you've truly done that. I mean, your career has been impeccable. You know, the only lesson that you were ever taught in your career was against Christina Job. And from that point on, you've proven to the world that you weren't going to look back. What was that you took away from the Job fight that made you realize that you were never going to be in that situation again?
Well, first, the first thing I did was I looked at the mistakes I made in that fight and why I lost. And it was my wrestling. I just didn't have enough experience wrestling. So I worked on my wrestling. I focused on that. I worked on my takedown defense. I worked on my takedowns nonstop. And so I addressed the skills. And then I also addressed the mindset that I had going into that fight. I had never lost a round before in my amateur career. And I lost that first round against Christina Jobe, and I kind of beat myself up for it in the fight. And that made all the difference. Like, if I would have fought a little bit harder in that second round, I probably could have got the decision win. However, I made the mental mistake of beating myself up for losing that first round. I didn't know how to handle losing a round, so I didn't have that experience yet. So I learned from that. I learned that no matter what happens in the fight, I can still come out with a win. I just can't give up. And so I basically learned never to give up, even in the fight. Even if I'm losing all three rounds so far, I can come back and with a knockout or a submission and win the fight at the end. So I basically learned not to make the mental mistake of giving up in a fight.
A tremendous job of it. You know, Pura Vida is a tremendous organization. What did it mean for you to go out and show the world that Pura Vida BJJ is a force to be reckoned with?
Well, it means a lot to me, and I know it means a lot to the gym. I mean, I am the first, like, homegrown fighter that they've produced that's made it all the way from amateur day one practice all the way to the UFC. So I know my coaches are super happy and super proud of me, and it's nice that I can show the world just how great our gym is here, and that we have Rufus Sport in town, but like our gym doesn't get enough credit. And I think that now with me making this statement with my UFC debut, I think and my teammate Zach Otto, he's going to be fighting in 2 weeks for the UFC in Milwaukee. I think we're going to start to show the world that we're one of the top gyms.
I think so too. Zach is tremendous. He's a character too, you know, but I love the guy. He's been on the show a couple times, and you know, it's curious to me because, you know, you jump from, you know, King of the Cage and other promotions, then you jump to Invicta, which is a little bit bigger of a platform, and Shannon Knapp is tremendous. But then you go straight into the UFC tough finale, and there's a huge difference in crowds. There's a huge difference in the way the promotion is handled. How hard was that, and how different was that for you, Leah, to grasp the immensity of the situation you were in?
I still don't think I fully grasped, like, how big of a deal that was, if I'm being honest with you. It was really cool, but honestly, during the fight week, it just felt like another fight week. But then when I was walking out into the crowd, it was actually interesting because I could hear the crowd for the first time. Pearl is actually a pretty small venue, and so I was actually able to hear, like, my parents and my friends in the stands, and I've never actually heard them before, so that was pretty cool. And I don't know, it's still sinking in that I made my UFC debut and that I'm actually a UFC fighter now.
Right. Well, you earned it, my friend. But it's pretty cool. You know, I know what you're talking about. You know, to be able to, you know, see a vision and then finally make it there, it's got to be crazy. You know, you look at your career, it's been enlightening. You know, up until, you know, fight night this last Friday night, you know, you had a huge book to look at. But now when you look back over your career thus far, what would you say would be your major takeaway or the moment that meant the most to you, Leah, you know, before or up to the UFC finale?
I'd have to say that winning this UFC fight has probably meant the most to me, just because it's something I dreamed about every single day on deployment last year, and I had to overcome a lot mentally and physically to get where I am today. And this last year has been very challenging. Coming back from deployment, reintegrating back into civilian society, and it wasn't easy for me. And the fact that I was able to overcome all of the mental and physical challenges I had to and make it to where I am today and actually make my dream come true, it means everything to me. And I think that is probably the most defining moment of my career, to actually make my dreams come true and actually win my UFC debut after all the things I've been through.
You know, I always wondered about that, because we're also friends on social media. And, you know, I always see you deployed or somewhere. How hard is it for you in that aspect to get the training, to get the access to training that you truly need to stay focused and keep that mentality as a fighter when you're deployed?
I was actually fortunate enough to go to a base that actually had a jiu-jitsu club that I kind of just took over. So I was teaching jiu-jitsu 3 times a week on deployment. So that was actually pretty awesome. And then I met a couple guys from Australia who trained Muay Thai. So we would hit pads and stuff together after work over there. So I was actually able to do some training while I was overseas, which I was really fortunate to find other people that were in the sport. And they have all reached out to me since I won my fight, and they're so proud of me, and they're so happy that I actually made it to the UFC, because it's all I ever talked about on deployment.
Now you made your dreams come true. It's crazy, because I've watched the beginning of your career, I shot part of your career, and now I get to interview you coming off one of the greatest moments in your career. You know, it's truly a humbling feeling to know that someone like you exists in the sport. You know, I interviewed 624 fighters last year, and I started getting a little dismayed in the sport, because you get some of these fighters that got the Conor McGregor attitude, or, you know, they want to act arrogant. What is it that allowed you, Leah, to stay grounded, to stay focused, and to keep the integrity that you hold in your heart?
I don't know. It's just who I am. I've never been the Conor McGregor type. I'm not the type that, like, brags about myself or, like, talks trash about other people. That's just not who I am. And I keep a close circle of family and friends, and I think that they keep me humble. And I think the military also helps me stay humble and stay true to who I am. But honestly, I don't care what happens to me, how much money I make, or how rich and famous I become. I'm always going to be the same person, just because that's who I am. I can't help it.
Hey, you're always happy. That's a tremendous thing. You know, I want to ask a kind of a silly question, because, you know, on Team Whitaker, you know, a lot of the aspect was non-English speaking. How hard was it for you to correlate and get through day by day in a non-English speaking environment?
It actually wasn't that bad. It was more humorous than anything. Larissa and I eventually, we got a system down. Like, we would kind of use a modified sign language, and we would be able to talk to each other. So it wasn't as bad as the show made it look on TV, because we were still able to communicate. And you'd be surprised at how well nonverbal communication works in most situations. So, and you get used to it. I actually got really good at understanding people with heavy accents. It's a new talent of mine I developed. So, yeah.
I know. I really know that feeling, because, you know, I've been a photographer in this industry for 23 years, and I'll shoot a fighter, and they're speaking to me because they're from Brazil or whatever, and I'm brown. And so automatically they think that I understand them, so they just come off and they just say these things, and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I just try to play it off. But now I've kind of had to learn the language, you know, being around so long, you kind of pick up on things. You know, Leah, I wanted you on the show. I asked you a long time ago if we could get you on the show, and I fought to get you on the show, and I thank you for that, you know, because this is the greatest fight thus far in your career. as one of the most memorable moments to you and your family and your gym. You know, it truly is the first chapter of who you are as a warrior. When you look at it in that aspect, what does it truly mean to you, not as a warrior, but as a person that set out to fulfill their goals?
That's a hard question to answer. I'd say that it means everything to me. My mom always told me that you can do anything you set your mind to, and she was right, because I set my mind to this since day one of my very first amateur fight, and to work this hard for so long, for so many years, and sacrifice so much to actually finally be here, it means everything to me, and I'm so happy right now. I'm on cloud nine. It's still like I'm still taking everything in, and it's still hard to believe that it's real life.
Well, I've never been nervous interviewing you nor anybody before. You know, I'm ecstatic with you. I think that's the thing. You know, here all day I was going, I don't know what to ask her. I know her. I've met her. I've shot her. I've interviewed her before, but I'm kind of lost on this one. But, you know, it's a tremendous thing that's happened. You know, and I'm going to ask you this question because I ask legends this, but you've proven to be a truly tremendous warrior in your walk. You know, so when I ask you this, I'm going to ask you this because I think you deserve, you know, the right to be asked this. What does pride, passion, and perseverance truly mean to Leah Lesson?
Pride to me is that's hard to answer. Pride to me is something you have to be careful with, because you don't want to be too proud, you know. But you definitely want to take pride in what you do, and you should be proud of yourself when you've worked really hard and accomplished what you set out to. So, to me, I'm really proud of myself. But there's also a fine line. Like, I'm not too proud of myself to where I start to get an ego or anything. And as far as passion goes, I'm extremely passionate about what I do. I put everything into everything that I do. So if I'm going to do something, I do it right. And I think that I'm so passionate about this sport that I put all of my effort and energy into making myself the best possible fighter I can be. And what was the other one you talked about?
Perseverance.
Perseverance. Oh, man. Perseverance. That's been a core value of mine ever since I did Taekwondo when I was 5 years old. It's one of the five tenets of Taekwondo, actually. And I've persevered through a lot. Going through everything I went through with the military, an ACL tear and knee surgery back in 2015, my first loss as a pro. And I was able to come back from all those things. And I just think if I can come back from all those things, there's nothing I can't do. So no matter what adversity I come to face, I know I'll get through it, because I've been through a lot of other things before and I've always come through.
Tremendous. I like that. You know, you started a new chapter in your life. And this is another Barbara Walters aspect question, but, you know, it helps me and my listeners get to know you and your thoughts, and not just the fight aspect of who you are. But if you had to write down the first sentence of the new chapter in Leah Lesson in her career, what would that sentence be?
Oh, man. You're asking me all the hard questions now.
Heavy hitters.
Yeah. Oh, man. Honestly, I don't even know how to summarize. I don't know. It's hard because it's still sinking in that I am just starting my UFC career. And I started on such a good note. I don't even know. I really don't know how to answer that question. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. I think you did without even knowing it. That's tremendous. I love it because it just shows the excitement, and I'm elated for you because I know how much you put into your career, and you know, you look back at all the opponents that you fought. None of them have been slouches. You've always, you know, maintained a tremendous, you know, aspect in your fight game and fighting, you know, people who are credible. And so that's what makes this even more tremendous that you went out in your UFC debut and you got a win, you know, a win, because not very many people get that opportunity. You know, when you sit back and, you know, we talked about it earlier, we get a reflection. And I was going to ask you, you know, what is your reflection on the whole thing together? But I think I already know. But going into the future, you know, what would Leah Lesson like to happen? You know, who would she like next? What opportunities would you like to come your way?
Honestly, I don't care who I fight next. I think that another good fight for me would be fighting Panny. The 145 division is pretty small, so people that were on the show with me, I'm probably going to fight all of them at some point. So I'll take any of them, but I think Panny would be a good fight for me, or a rematch against Macy. I honestly, whoever the UFC wants to give me, I'll take.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if she's still at 145 or not, but I would love to see you and Megan Anderson get in the cage together. That's just my thought, because I think it would be a tremendous fight. You know, I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but if you had an opportunity to face somebody like Megan Anderson, would you take it?
Of course, I would take anyone that they offer me. If it's Megan Anderson, I would take that for sure.
I think that's a great fight. You know, Leah, I'm not going to hold you too much longer. You know, I'm just so proud of you, my friend. You know, what you started, you're seeing through, and now you showed the world what you're capable of, just a smidgen, you know, because I think there's a lot more to come from you. I think you're a warrior that's going to define the sport. I think you have ability that the world truly hasn't seen yet. You know, I think you're just starting to grow, and you've got a long future ahead of you, a tremendous future. You know, in life, we don't always thank those that have helped us. We don't always give precedence to those who didn't walk in front of us nor behind us, but stood side by side and, you know, gave us that nudge when we needed it, or whispered in our ear when we needed to hear it. So I'm going to give you that opportunity to thank those people who have truly made a difference in the creation of Leah Lesson.
Well, first I got to thank my coaches, Jake Klipp, Zach Otto, Nick Trost, Nick Villegas, and Ben Tomes. They worked with me a ton to get ready for this fight. And Jay Cliff and Zach Otto have been there for me since day one. They're the reason I'm actually in the sport, so I definitely got to give them a shout-out. I also want to thank my sponsors, Aromatic Blessings, Ancient Nutrition, and Dr. X Supplements. I want to thank my management agency, Iridium Sports Agency. And I just want to thank my family and my friends. They've been super supportive of me chasing my dreams, and they've been there with me every step of the way. So, yeah, there's so many people I could thank. My gym, Pure Vida MMA, the training partners I have here are absolutely amazing, and they help me get ready for every fight that I've ever had. So,
yeah. Well, you work with some pretty tremendous people. You know, Jake Klipp is awesome, and Zach Otto, I just love that guy to death. But, you know, I want to thank Iridium Sports Management, too, you know, Jason House and Ed. You know, thank you for allowing this interview to take place and having the faith in me. They've brought in many fighters, you know, with Johnny Hendricks and other fighters on my show. And like I said, I was kind of stymied, you know, because, Leah, I was nervous. I'll be honest with you. You know, I was nervous going into this interview with you because, you know, I'm like you. I'm a perfectionist. If I feel like I can't do something right, then I won't do it. And I was kind of stymied on the angle to bring this in. But you truly have showed the sport that you're here to stay, and I'm proud of you. You know, Shannon Knapp, thank you for giving her the opportunity in Invicta, and that gave her the opportunity in the UFC. you know, there's a long list of people that helped create you, but you defined you, you know, and that's tremendous. You know, I love that about you. You know, one last question, and then I'm going to let you go, Leah. You know, it's just the beginning for you, you know, and I want you to enjoy this moment. But when you sit back after, when you sat back after the fight that night, what was the thoughts that truly, because a lot of people want to know, I actually got a question in my green room. They said when she, after the fight, when she was sitting back at the hotel, what thoughts were running through her head? So I thought I would ask you that question before I let you go.
I think the main thoughts were, holy shit, you just won your UFC debut. I think that's honestly what my thoughts were right after the fight.
Yeah, well, this is tremendous outing, my friend. I'm very proud of you. I'm going to hand the mic to you. If there's anything other sponsors that you'd like to add, or just any social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to say, the floor is yours, Leah.
I just want to thank you for having me on the show, and you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Leonidas MMA.
Well, that was short and quick.
Well, I already thanked everyone earlier.
Yeah, I'm so proud of you. You know, what you did was nothing short of tremendous, and I think, like I said earlier, you're going to show the sport that you deserve to be here. You know, be proud on your walk, because you truly deserve all the glory you're getting. With that, thank you for coming on my show and allowing me to interview you. You have a tremendous night, Leah.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Leah Letson. You know, I honestly was nervous going into the interview. I don't know why I don't get nervous. I mean, I know her in life. I've shot her career. I guess we all have certain aspects that we critique ourselves on or think too in-depth on. But what I took away from that interview was the world's not even seeing half of what she's capable of. She truly is a well-defined warrior that is now going to start making huge statements in the UFC. I think the UFC made the right call in having her on the finale and giving her the opportunity after making it to the semifinals, you know, that she will now grow and she's going to show the world. You know, I don't usually go out on a limb and say this, but I think that she will be the next champion in her weight division, and I think she's going to prove that quite eloquently throughout her fights to come. With that, I want to thank Iridium Sports Management, Jason House, and Ed Kapp. You know, I appreciate the honor of being able to interview your fighter. I want to thank Finished MMA with Juan Martinez. I want to thank the 86ers.net with Alfred Terran and Freddie Colbert. I want to thank Cutman for Hire with Jacob Stitch-Duran and Juan Ramirez, and Bite Me Mouthguards with Joe Rice. I haven't been filling up the par, but this is a show that I wanted to do. I truly appreciate everybody for tuning in. You know, I really love sharing all aspects of the sport as they truly deserve it. With that, I want to wish everybody a good night, and God bless.
What up, it's your boy Slone Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out, though. Listen, in a world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women. Everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this, though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Where I come from, people always get money.